Welcome to another edition of the Blown Mortgage audio podcast series. Today we have the privilege of speaking with Matthew Padilla. Matt is the reporter for the Orange County Register in the real estate and mortgage section. He also is the author of the Mortgage Insider blog, which can be found on the Orange County Register website. So Matt, thanks very much for taking time out today to speak with us and welcome to the program.
Sure, it should be fun.
Matt, you're one of the first mainstream media people that we've had on our interview series. Can you tell us a little bit about the Mortgage Insider blog, when you started it, and how it complements what you do for the Register?
Sure. It started about 3 months ago, and the idea here is to allow readers to engage in the discussion about what's going on in the mortgage industry. There's this tremendous upheaval. You know, their comments also help guide what I write about because, you know, some of them are quite sophisticated and I'm learning from them and I'm trying to drive coverage that follows on their ideas and things that they'd like to see. So I definitely think all business reporters should think about starting a blog.
Absolutely. And Orange County is kind of the ground zero for the mortgage industry. And so obviously you must, you know, you have all the incoming news information. You're doing your own investigation. And then you have all these comments coming into your blog. And you said you use your blog as a sounding board for the issues that are important to the readers out there. What are some of your philosophy and what you choose to put on the blog versus what you want to fully report on? And where do you draw that line?
Great question. Well, the newspaper industry still is local, local, local. That's how we're trying to stop this drainage of readers and circulation, is by being better local reporters. And the blog has much of that same perspective. You know, I write a lot about companies based or with large operations in Orange County in the blog because I figure people who are employed here or who get loans from these companies want to know how they're doing, you know, especially amid all the changes. So that's one way we keep it local. Also, you know, if there's industry-wide news, such as something the Fed chief says or whatnot, that's going to affect your mortgage rate or affect you here in Orange County in some other way, I'll also blog on that. And that's a way to keep people up to date on big trends that will affect them locally.
You're in a very unique position because this is your career as opposed to bloggers such as myself who just do it as a hobby. And you also have a very wide access to a large selection of different people in the industry, different people in Orange County and at various levels all across the mortgage industry. Where does the general consensus lie from the people that you talk to and where we are at with this whole mortgage issue? And are we near the bottom? Are we still on the way down? What have you heard and what's the general consensus out there?
Yeah, you know, I wish I knew, really.
Right.
That's a hard thing to peg. Are we at the bottom or not? But, you know, the way to look at this, or one way to look at it, is that the housing market is lagging, and that even the home builders now are saying that this year is going to be a down year and possibly next year as well. And the sort of harsher scenario is that we're overdue for a recession. So if that comes right as the housing market ought to be coming back, then it could be 5 tough years. Now, as far as lending layoffs, just in general, we've seen about 3,000 in Orange County this year, which is just an estimation. Some lenders won't give us actual figures, and some will give us figures, but they won't say how many are in Orange County. So it's kind of a hurdle that I'm always trying to get past. You know, unfortunately, the analysts that I interview think there's still excess capacity out there, and so we're going to see some more cutbacks this year.
Do you think the people that are in Orange County have more of a positive attitude? Are they a little more dour, or are they pretty much realistic? Because I know everyone talks about the Orange County market being unique and that type of thing. Do you see any of that distinction in the people you talk to?
Well, for sure, that is what people in the industry say, that Orange County is essentially a built community, meaning we don't have a whole lot of vacant land, and also we have a strong economy, though unemployment did go up slightly in the last survey. We're much better off than, say, Colorado or places where the auto industry in the Midwest is scaling back. So in that sense, we're insulated. But at the same time, you know, we've had this dramatic run-up in home prices, and to get past the affordability, lenders loosened standards, and they essentially gave anyone who wanted a loan, you know, it seems.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So with that in mind, Orange County is not totally insulated from what's going on, and if there was a lot of speculation and a fair amount of fraud going on, then it's going to be painful going forward.
The Fed's line, basically Bernanke's line on this whole thing, and one of the common refrains that you've heard out there about the mortgage meltdown is that it's been contained to subprime. Subprime is a relatively small segment of the market, and that it doesn't seem to be spreading across larger sections of it. You did an interesting post a while ago that dug into the comments of IndyMac's reporting where they said, well, the distinction between subprime and Alt-A isn't really by loan, it's more by servicer. And so what, when your investigation, do you feel or have you heard that it's going to spread across the market, or do you think that it is contained?
No, it's definitely spread to the Alt-A category. That's the really creative category above subprime, but not quite prime. We've seen more home borrowers missing payments. Yeah, at the same time, it's nowhere near the subprime level. I think the last data I got showed Alt-A around close to 3% delinquency, whereas subprime is 14% or even higher than 14%. And you have to understand that that is total outstanding defaulted versus those who are paying their mortgage. It's not the number of units. So, for example, one investor who has several properties that go bad, he could be defaulting on several loans, and that could push the total higher. Of course, that's not good for the housing market either. But the point being, it certainly spread to Alt-A. Now, your traditional prime borrower, someone with good credit and a conforming mortgage, that guy or gal is paying on a regular basis. So we haven't seen the core market really move up a lot, and hopefully it'll stay that way. But, you know, there's still some issues out there. There's the issue of resets. All those people who got introductory rates over the past 2 years, those are starting to reset now and will reset next year. Something like $2 or $3 trillion in loans, or maybe not quite that high, but I've definitely heard that the reset is more than $1 trillion.
Definitely substantial.
Yeah. So, and everyone's different. Some people may have a little equity, and others may have negative equity.
Right.
So, it's the negative equity and the zero equity ones who have that mortgage resetting now that are likely to default. But we don't know for sure.
Do you think that the government will intervene in some level of or another, especially in the subprime side of the market,
yeah,
in terms of bailing out homeowners or, you know, forestalling foreclosures or that type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, there's been some overtures by government to that effect, but everything I've seen has been on a relatively small scale. I wouldn't expect the government to do, and it's really not in a position to do any grand bailout. I think that would be misleading. The government is trying to give guidance to banks to help people to restructure loan terms so that they can survive. But, you know, banks do that on their own. It's always in the bank's interest to refinance or restructure a loan if the borrower can prove that he or she can actually still afford that loan. If the borrower is truly underwater, the bank's just going to have to take the home back, and no one's going to stop that.
Matt, just a couple of quick questions back about your blog. Do you think that the audience of your blog is skewed one way or another?
Well, that's a good question. I do think that the comments tend to be skewed towards people who are bearish on the housing market and who feel lenders were unwise in choices that they made. But however, you know, if you think about it, let's see, I'm just about up to my 1,000 comments. So about 1,000 people have posted a comment. But weekly traffic is anywhere from 20 to 30,000 page views. In terms of how many of those are actual unique people, I think it's about a 70% coverage. So, you know, as many as 10,000 people a week are coming to my blog. So what that tells you is that a very small percentage of people are actually posting comments. So, I mean, we get a lot of comments. I can get 10, 20, or even 30 in a single day. But even so, that's a very small number compared to traffic. You know, the most vocal people are out there posting comments which tend to be snide or otherwise negative. I don't know that they're representative of who is actually reading the blog.
Do you read any blogs out there in terms of the housing market, and how do they factor into what you dig into as a reporter?
Well, obviously, aside from my blog, we have Landsner on real estate. He's the general real estate blog, which is mostly centered around the debate where home prices are going. And I check that and converse with him on a regular basis. But in terms of the general blogosphere, there's lots of good blogs out there. I like Calculated Risk because it's got a mortgage writer who writes under an assumed name, Tanta. You know, I'm not sure if that's how she pronounces it. And she's quite good, and the blog in general is good on the economy and lending issues. You know, for fun, there's the Housing Panic blog. You know, and that's a good case of what a blogger can do that a journalist probably shouldn't do, is the Housing Panic blog is an opinion piece that really is strong on the fact that there's been this tremendous housing bubble, according to that blogger. A journalist can, I think, have a bit more leeway in a blog to have a voice and an opinion, but we still have our sort of
journalistic...
we have, you know, best practices. We want to be fair and balanced. We don't want people to think we're biased, unless we write for a publication whose mission is to be biased. But a general interest newspaper is supposed to be a fair and balanced reporting, and I sincerely believe that that's what we should be doing. But with a blog, I have had more opinion than I normally would, and I think it's okay in that format.
Well, Matt, I really want to thank you for joining us today. If I could ask you one last question, why does the mainstream media seem so good at reporting on accidents but not really so good at looking at unsafe or hazardous conditions that could lead to an accident? There's been a ton of coverage on the subprime meltdown, but in the past few years, reporters aren't the only ones at fault. The entire media government could argue that they overlooked the entire problem altogether as well, but how come there seems to be such an ability to cover the big sensational part of it, but kind of miss some of the warning signs up front?
Sure. I mean, essentially you're asking why didn't the media forecast a crash? And the response to that would be, we certainly did, and you know, as far back as I think 2002 or even earlier, Lanzner, our real estate columnist, as well as others, were sort of asking that question. Are home prices too high, et cetera? You know, are we going to see the same thing we saw in the early 90s? And also, you have to keep in mind that a lot of what we do is report what experts can say and what can be proven with data and research. And much of what we're talking about, let's say 2 years ago, was kind of a general sense that maybe people were getting irresponsible with their lending. But you need to back that up with experts who analyze data and say, yeah, this is true. Back in 2004, for example, or even 2005, the experts were being cautious at best. They weren't coming out and saying, here's what the data is, and here's what's going to happen, and we need to stop now before things get out of control. If more people were doing that as a group of like-minded, credible sources, then we could have done more stories. And I'll say one more thing is that as a reporter, I certainly wrote stories about the mortgage industry as early as 2003 or 4. I forget. Once interest rates had bottomed out, I was working for another paper at the time, but I essentially did it a story saying, you know, boom, bust, consolidation is next. And so, you know, those are kind of the stories that people forget were out there. They sort of want, I guess they sort of were looking for a drumbeat. It's just one bad story after another, but that's just not the way it works. And one last point is to look for the nuance in stories. You know, if we've got a headline that says home price hits new median, you know, even a year or two ago, within that story there was always a graph or two of the skeptic saying this can't last, or lenders are out of control with loose standards. So if you got into the nuance of media coverage, that voice that you're talking about, it was there to find.
Matthew Padilla, thanks so much for joining us today on the Blown Mortgage podcast series. Matt Padilla from the Orange County Register. He's a real estate reporter and author of the Mortgage Insider blog. You can check out his work. He posts all the time. Just go to ocregister.com and go to the blog section, and it's the Mortgage Insider blog. Matt, thanks so much for your time today, and I appreciate you joining us on the program.
Great. It was fun.